Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone to Daylight Savings Time at Glenshaw Valley. I told somebody this morning if I'm grumpy, and then I said, well, no, if I'm grumpier than normal, losing an hour of sleep, you know what it is. Some of you will feel that way. You can take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down so we can have a record of your attendance. If phone number or anything has changed, please let us know. On the second page, the last page, Easter flowers, you can sign up. White lilies and pink and blue, I can't say it today, hyacinths are available for $7.95 each, and it'll be in the service. And then for Easter, then after the Easter service, you can take them home and do what you would like with them. Annual Easter egg brunch and annual Easter brunch and egg hunt. Christian Education sponsoring this, and there'll be sweet rolls, bagels, coffee, juice, and you come out and fellowship and have a nice time before church. And Attention Valley Gardeners, there's a sign up sheet on the back table. If you had a plot last year, I'll let you read that, but you need to sign up for it. And we've always asked that if you can, 10% of what you grow that we take and give to the food bank in Edna. So hope that you can do that. A donut fellowship on April the 3rd. Always look at the food bank. They always need help. So many people out of work or don't have full-time jobs. Per capita, that's the money we pay to our local presbytery, then our synod, then our national general assembly, and that's $29.10 per member. And if possible, we ask that people pay that over and above what they might normally give. You know, continue to sign up for scripture readers. Just love having that. And Kathy this morning, so you'll know, the secretary accidentally just gave one verse, so she's going to read it off of the computer. You're seeing this version, which is a new American Standard Version. This time we have a minute for mission, authority.
Good morning. I will try to be brief, but I will tell you it's more than a minute because we have a lot of mission stuff happening. I am here as a representative of the missional team to let you know that we have been working for almost a year now. We've had 11 meetings, and there are some things that we have done that you could probably see. Number one would be the painting of the doors in red. Sort of upgrading the narthex a little bit to show off some of our history and some of our historic pieces, and taking some of our business stuff away from the areas where we worship. So hopefully you've noticed those changes and that you've enjoyed seeing some of those changes. But we've also made an executive decision, which is always difficult to do, and we have decided that it's time to order new hymnals for the congregation, for the church, and we're very excited about it. We've done some research. We've looked at a number of different hymnals, and we have decided to go with a hymnal called Glory to God, the Presbyterian Hymnal, and we have already ordered hymnals for the choir. We've also ordered an electronic hymnal, which means that we will be able to show the hymns on the PowerPoint. And we've ordered an accompaniment copy for Mickey. So hers is loose leaf and she doesn't have to deal with the binder of the hymnal. So we're excited about that. Those should be here soon. Thank you, Cliff. We also want to order hymnals for the pews and for all of you, and we are asking for your support in that. If you look at the hymnals that you have now, you will notice many of them have book plates inside where those hymnals were purchased by members in memory of, in honor of, in celebration of, just because of, and we would like to do that again this year, asking any of you who would like to purchase hymnals and help with this task. They will be in the pews with book plates stating who gave them and why, whether, again, it's in memory of, in honor of. And they're $30 a piece. They are about the same size as this, I believe a little bit bigger physically. Not a lot, but a little bit. And they have a lot of the new songs, a lot of the songs that we have been doing on PowerPoint are in the actual hymnal. But there are also some new ones, and there are also some oldies but goodies that are not in our current hymnal. So we think it's a really good eclectic mix of new and old and favorites, which is a really broad category. So there will be order forms in the pews and in the bulletins over the next few weeks. There aren't any today, so please don't try to order one today or Carol won't know what the checks are for. But please think about, be in prayer about who you would like to honor in the church with a hymnal and try and help us, support us with that project. We really look forward to it, and you'll hear more about it, as I said, as we go along. But we wanted to put that out there. As I said, lots to talk about. Next subject. As many of you may know, the Sunday after Easter is Lay Sunday, traditionally. And we would ask if there's anyone in the congregation that would like to participate in that service in any way at all, please let me know. Please let Leonard know. Leonard will be here that day, but he will not be participating, so he can sit in the back and critique. And if you're interested in doing any part of that service, we would welcome you to participate. So please let us know, and we'll get you into the bulletin and give you a task to do that day. So those are all happy and exciting things. And you always lead with the good, right? So we have a challenge presented to us, which I know we can meet, and that is that Dave Slover, who is our treasurer, who kindly stepped up and took that job last time a treasurer said they were stepping down, has decided that he now is stepping down. So we will be looking for a new treasurer January 1st. It is a huge job to the church in its importance. I can't say that it's huge time-consuming, but I can't say that you can do it in 10 minutes either. So there's some time involved. I would encourage you, if you think you might be interested, try and reach out to Dave, talk to Dave, find out a little bit about what the job involves, find out how much time it takes, find out how he does the job, why he likes it, why he doesn't want to do it anymore. But please be in prayer for the church that we find someone who is willing to step up and take that position. And again, if you have any questions, talk to Dave or any member of session. So I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlie. And there's a lot going on in Glenshaw Valley, so keep everything in prayer. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. An opening hymn of praise from what will be our old hymnal soon, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, 184.
Amen.
worship, continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for all creation. We are thankful that you love us. We are grateful for your mercy and grace. Forgive us when we do not live faithful lives. Help us to be true disciples. Teach us how to make you our first and our greatest priority. Help us to be successful in our service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we close our eyes and bow our heads for our personal silent prayer of confessions. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with one another, with other churches in our community and churches around the world, in our faith, in our unity, in who we are as Christians as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask them. the Lamb of God. Our responsive reading is Redemption. Back of your hymnal, 660. Redemption, 660. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
But now righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify.
This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ.
God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished.
He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers.
But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect.
This time I call the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Leonard says people pay attention when somebody different talks, but now I know how he feels, because when the same person talks so much, please pay attention to the prayer requests and ignore the deliverer. Dave Slover is asking for prayers for Doug Bertha's wife. She's fighting some very serious cancer, so we're in prayer for her and also for him. Lynn Love is asking for prayers for the town of Maryville, Louisiana. You may have seen on the news they have severe flooding there, and Lynn has some family in that town. So pray for her family and also for all of their neighbors and everyone in the town of Maryville. And Heather Perman is asking for prayers for Scott Harris, who is a friend of their family. Scott and his family are in need of prayer because Scott developed some issues during a recent surgery. So we ask that you keep all these people in your prayers. Thank you.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. It is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad within it. When we have a time of prayer, many times horrific things come before us. People who are hurting, people who have been diagnosed with cancer, people who have been in wrecks, or a family member has gone off to war. So we need your comfort in our lives. We need to know and believe that you care for us, that you hear our prayers and that you answer them, that you're not a God who just created the world and has gone away and will one day come back to see what has happened. But through Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, he is also that mediator. And he is the one who presents our prayers to you. So we come to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of our precious Jesus, who has done so much for us by coming into the world and giving his very life, the shedding of his blood, all the way to death. But we're so thankful that there was the power of the resurrection, and that he ascended into heaven and is seated at your right hand with you. And your Holy Spirit is moving among us, calling us, teaching us, helping us, guiding us. So we lift every prayer, spoken and unspoken, up to you this day. thank you for your mercy, your grace, your understanding, your kindness, your love. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A hymn of preparation, a screen song, Knowing You. Together and worship you, and we can help one another and those in our community So we thank you for the Holy Spirit pouring out your gifts upon your church, those called out of the world into a relationship with you. So we give our first fruits, our money, our time, our effort, our energy, our kindness, our love, everything that we do, Lord, may we always do it for you. Lord, I ask for your blessings upon this congregation. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
As they're coming down and Kathy's coming up, if you get the Shaler Journal, you'll notice, I hope you take a moment to look at it, there's an ad being placed in there, came out of the Missional Committee, for the Easter Sunday. And so it's a good day to be thinking about it, to invite someone to church on that day. And I want to thank Jim Teggy for work that he's had done around the church, from cleaning. You might have noticed how dirty the back of the church was, power washed, and some other things he's done, and Joe D'Amico coming down and cleaning the carpet. I mean, just spending many hours for it. And Mike Love was down fixing the holders on the back, and some other things that he's done, fixing a door and different things. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that people have done that I have absolutely no idea that has happened, but has happened. So God knows, and God thanks you for it.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Philippians 3, 5 through 21. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to the regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or I have already reached the goal, but I have press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Bless the reading.
Paul Powell, in his book, The Complete Disciple, describes a picture that is painted by a famous artist. It's a picture of a wagon train in the Old West. Nighttime has fallen. The wagons, as we've seen on TV, are circled, so making them safer from any attack. In the center of the circle of the wagons is a campfire and a group of rugged men who are around it. The wagon master, a muscular man with an uncut beard, has a map spread out before him.
On the map is a heavy black line that zigzags across the map, showing the course that they have taken to this point. They had veered north part of the way, then south, but their main direction has always been to head west. Evidently, there's been argument about which way to go. And the wagon master has placed one finger on one end of the black line, and then he's pointing to a direction on the map with his other finger. He seems to be saying, we may have to go south around the mountain or north across the river, but our main direction will always be west. And that's how they will reach their destination, by forever moving westward, even if there has to be a temporary direction, other directions at time. And then one of the secrets, and not me, so many books have been written about it, to a successful life is to have your eyes fixed upon a goal and to pursue that goal with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. St. Paul was one of the most influential people who ever lived, and one of the reasons that he was so effective is that he had his eyes fixed firmly on one major goal that simply could not be surpassed. Listen again to this part of the scripture. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What a great, marvelous, grand statement to make that we can see today, 2,000 years later. St. Paul's passion for serving his Lord Jesus Christ. This is why St. Paul has helped so many people over the past 2,000 years. He knew what was truly important in life, and he gave himself completely to accomplishing that goal. Many people live ineffective lives because they do not focus on what is most important. One of the most important lessons for life involves priorities, putting first things first. Without priorities, the athlete fails to meet their goal, to win the prize. Without goals, financial goals go unmet. Businesses go bankrupt. Churches can become stagnant in their ministries. Students fail to make the grade. Dreams remain unfilled. E. Stanley Jones, in his book Convergence, tells us that when people first started voting in the nation of India, many of the voters were illiterate. And they got over this difficulty by placing ballot boxes in a row with the photo or the picture of the party on the box that people would recognize. Well, one man tore his ballot into small pieces and dropped a piece in each of the 10 boxes that were out. He voted for all 10 parties, but what he did not realize is by doing this, he actually voted for no party. Vote was canceled out, did not count. So in order to become effective in our work, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, we must set priorities. And I think that's one of the things they're trying to do in the missional team is look at what the church needs and set some priorities and set some goals. When we do not set priorities, we find ourselves, I think, like a rat in a maze, just running and bumping in and then coming, maybe finally get to an end, maybe never works this way out. There was a very interesting news story online about a year ago, and I've seen it several times now. You know, on Facebook, they just keep rehashing and sending you the same things. But it was the photo of a humpback whale emerging just below the surface of the water. It was a beautiful image, but what was happening in the background is the whale emerged, got just as much attention, even more than the whale coming up. A man sits in a sailboat and he's glued. What would you think he's glued to? His smartphone. Isn't that our society today? They've even got a word for people walking and texting at the same time. I can't remember it right now, but I read it last night. But he's glued to that cell phone or smartphone. And what makes it so interesting and baffling is that the man is just a few feet away from the whale. You would think you would notice a whale coming up next to your small boat right on the other side, but he's so enamored with the images on his phone or whatever he's doing on it that he misses the opportunity to see a whale emerging right beside him. Probably never to happen again. I think that's a wonderful metaphor of many of our lives. Focusing on things that may matter some, but have little matter. Not very important, while very important matters go unattended. Sometimes we'll go do a little busy work so we don't have to do something that is important, or we just ignore it. When retired football coach Bobby Bowden played baseball in college, he never hit a home run. Never. In fact, his senior year at Howard College, he was the only player on the team not to hit a home run that year. The only one. One day he had a line drive against Auburn, and as he approached third, the coach was waving him on. Come on, hurry, let's go. Let's go. And when he touched home, the team was very ecstatic. You've seen it on television or been to a game when the players empty the dugout and they come running out and patting and shaking and high fives, all excited. Then it calms down. Well, all of a sudden, no one noticed that the first baseman was yelling for the man who had the ball to throw the ball to him. He got the ball. He tagged first base. And the umpire yelled, out. That's a shame. But what was his mistake? Not touching first base. You have to touch each base. You can touch second, you can touch third, you can touch home. But if you don't have the very first base, which is really the layer, you have failed. If you don't take care of first base, it doesn't matter what else you do. Successful living for people, successful living for businesses, successful living for churches is about taking care of things that matter the most. If you were to make a list of what is important to you, maybe you think about it and go home and you'll make out a little list. Or it could be a long list, 5 things, 25 things, those things that are important to you, that really matter to you and to your family, to your relationship. If you made a list of the important things in your life, where would your spouse fall on the list? Where would your family fall on the list? Where would your friends fall on the list? Where would your children? Your work, your responsibilities, all these things, where would you place them? Where would you place your church? Where would you place your faith in the Lord? Would you list daily prayer on that list? Would you list an important thing for me to do is to read my Bible, to study, to fellowship with other Christians? To reach out in service? How would your daily activities reflect your priorities? Will your priorities make you the kind of person that you desire to be? A student at Amherst College during his freshman year put the letter A above his dorm room door. And he did this every year until graduation. Because of that V, people ridiculed him. They would ask him what it was about, and he wouldn't tell anybody. He kept it private. But he paid no attention to the ridicule. When his 4 years were over and graduation day came, that student was appointed to give the valedictory speech. So the V stood for valedictory. The letter on that door he held before him, looking at it all 4 years when he would walk into that room and see that V.
what his goal was, what his priority was while he was at college. He wasn't there primarily. He didn't go online and say, which is the best party school? People do that. They really do. He went to college to get an education and to be number one in his class. A worthy goal to set, a worthy goal to accomplish. If you were to put a letter over your door at home, what letter would it be? Would you put a P for power or for prestige? Would you put an M for money? An F for fame? What would you put? What letter would go over your door? Maybe you could put a few letters. You know, life is about focus and determination. We really know that. We know it deep down in our hearts, but we need to be reminded of it from time to time through our own selves and through our family, our friends, and even through our church. There's nothing that we read about Paul, we call him Saint Paul, that indicates that he was specially talented, or that he was of great stature, or that he was really good looking, or that he was the most gifted speaker anyone had ever heard. In fact, he had an illness that the Bible refers to as a thorn in the flesh, and we're not sure what that was because it doesn't specifically say. I've always thought it had to do something with his eyes, but I don't know. St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ and getting other people to find Jesus as their Savior, because he believed that Jesus was the Savior. He believed that Jesus was going to come back. He believed that Jesus had ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God's power and glory. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ. There's no stopping anyone with that kind of focus and commitment. And I keep reminding myself, and I hope I remind you, that our true citizenship is not Allegheny County, or Pennsylvania, or even the United States of America. Our true citizenship as Christians is in heaven, a place we're just waiting to get to, on our way. St. Paul's life was focused entirely on serving Christ, and that's where each and every one of us need to put the main focus of our lives. On the Australian coat of arms, kind of an unusual one, is a picture of two animals, an emu and a kangaroo. These animals were chosen because they shared characteristics that appealed to the forefathers of that country. Both the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward. They cannot move backwards. And I like that, because none of us can move backwards in our life. We can try to look back, but we can't go back. We can only go forward. The emu's 3-foot toe causes it to fall, literally fall, if it tries to go backwards. The kangaroo's tail is so big and heavy that it cannot move backwards. Maybe we need an emu and a kangaroo on our own personal coat of arms, or maybe for our church. Maybe we ought to draw one up to remind us that we got to move on, we got to move forward. We all need high and lofty goals for our lives, a goal like St. Paul's that keeps heaven and the reality of that before us on a daily basis. Only then can we be all that God has called us to be as individuals, as families, and all that God has called us to be as the Church of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. We need our goals, we need our priorities, and we need to move forward. in faith, in unity, through our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen. Hymn of Response, Reaching for Excellence, 456.
Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.